Well, good morning again. So thank you so much for being here today. We are kicking off a new series today, Love Like Jesus. And this is our series leading us up to Easter Sunday. And so it's hard to believe. I don't know about, maybe not for you, but for me, I cannot believe it's already April. And we're almost to Easter, and it will be here and gone before we know it. And it'll be summer, and then it'll be fall, and it'll be winter again. It seems like it's just kind of flying by. And so I just want to invite you to kind of do something with me that kind of slows us down a little bit. It's that we come to church, and we come to the events that we have here. Here's what that does is that it makes us become a part of what's going on. And it allows us to be able to experience the series and the order that they come. It allows us to be around other people kind of doing the same things that we're doing. And it builds piece of our lives that just kind of bring us together. And for me, that slows things down when I've got other people going around me that are going through things with me. It just allows us to experience it better. And so I just want to invite you to do that. If you're on Facebook and you're part of our church pages, then there's a couple of things on there that allow you to just be able to share, to invite your friends. If you're not on there with us, then be sure and look up You Are a Community Church on there and like the page, and then we'll try to keep you up to date with things that are going on here, and then up to date with things that you can share and invite your friends and family and neighbors to come and be a part of it. So today we begin this series. It's going to be kind of an interesting time together because, listen, we live in a hurting world. There are so many people around us that are hurting in so many different ways. And what happens is we begin to get focused in so much on where we are hurting that we begin to miss out on those things around us. And so think about it. What if, you know, we look around and we see all the hurt, but what if we were able to look around and see the love that is in the world? Because, there is a lot of love around us. The problem is that we get so blinded by all the hurt and all the negativity that we tend to miss it. And so that's what I want us to do with this series, is just be able to take the time to love like Jesus, to be able to forgive people, to be able to hang out with people, be able to see people through His eyes and the way that He saw them, and be able to experience that as well. One of those ways is through serving, and I think that's going to be a powerful day for us as we talk about that. But let me ask you this question. How many of you have dogs? So a lot of you have dogs, right? So how many of you have dogs now or had dogs growing up? At some point in your life, you've had a dog. Yeah, I mean, that's like almost all of us. So let me ask you this. How many of you had a big dog? Yeah, there you go. How many of you had little dogs? Yeah, how many of you have those little yapping mongrel dogs that just get on your nerves? Yeah, there you go. So some of you know what I'm talking about. You didn't even wait, you just knew. So yeah, we have one of those that's kind of in between. She likes to bark. If her bark was any indication of how mean she is and how big she is, you know, she'd, you know, rule the house for sure. But her bark is much worse than her bite, I guess. But anyway, but here's the thing. Think about this. If you're out walking your dog and another dog comes up and bites you, what would you do? What in the world would you do? You go to the emergency room, wouldn't you? You'd probably go and probably be pretty mad, right? I'd be pretty mad, if that dog lived, then they'd be able to, you know, test it and all that stuff. But it might bite me and die. I don't know. But if you went to the emergency room, you'd be like this one lady who was bit by a dog. She goes to the emergency room, and doctor looks at it and says, you know, tests her and says, ma'am, I'm really sorry to tell you, but that dog's got rabies. And you know, things are not good for you. You need to get your things in order, you know. And so she said, oh, my goodness, you know. So, well, can I have a piece of paper and a pen? And she begins to write things down. And And the doctor's like, you know, man, that you're really riding there. That's some wheel that you're riding. She says, oh, no, I'm not riding a wheel. I'm just writing down the names of all the people I'm going to bite before I die, you know. And some of us are kind of like her, that we've got people in our lives that if we had rabies, we would surely want to bite them before we died. We'd want to get even with them, wouldn't we? There are some people in our lives that just we absolutely wish the worst for, because they've in some way harmed us, hurt us, and we find ourselves just not being able to get beyond it, to not be able to get over it, and it just becomes something that we hold on to. And so I think a lot of us have those lists. The Bible says this in Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15. It says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Verse 15 says, but if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So if we don't forgive other people, then we can expect to not be forgiven. That, do you read that the way that I read that? That's pretty cut and dry. And so forgiveness is one of those things that I think that we have all experienced, or unforgiveness is one of those things that we've all experienced in our lives. We've either at least experienced it and have been able to overcome it, or we're still right dead in the middle of it. Some of us in the room have some pretty deep unforgiveness, that we've been wronged by a parent, we've been wronged by a spouse, we've been wronged by other people, we've been wronged by, you know, organizations, you know, churches. What, there's something there that has wronged us, and we've been holding on to it. And so today, as we begin this series, I think we have to begin by looking at this, because this is one of those things that I believe is the biggest stumbling block for people who call themselves believers of Christ, followers of Jesus, that there ever was. It's one of the things that keeps so many people from being able to come to Jesus and totally accept Him for who He is, because the forgiveness factor is the biggest thing that happens when we accept Jesus, is that our sins are forgiven, and we just can't comprehend it. And so today I want to be able to dig into this and be able to see this the way that the Scripture teaches us, and be able to hopefully unfold this a little bit for us to now, you know, be able to incorporate this into who we are. Because without this, I think we miss out on the greatest blessings that there are. And so today we begin our series Love Like Jesus by talking about the fact that He forgives sinners. He forgives sinners. We're going to talk next week about how He washes people's feet. We're going to talk about in the next week how we break bread and what that looks like, and how we love people through those types of things. But today I want us to focus in on this topic of forgiveness, because it is such an important piece. And if we were to go around the room and just one-on-one, and you could just say, you know, Ron, I've got this. I think probably the majority of us would have something that we're holding on to. And so today my prayer is that whatever that is, it's already come to your mind. You already know what it is, at least one of them, if there's not more. And so today my prayer is that by the time we finish, that we're going to be able to let these things go and be able to love like Jesus loves. So if you have your Bibles or your phone app or whatever, it'll be on the screen or something in your program. But we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 23 here, at one of the greatest examples of forgiveness that there is. And so just to bring to context, Jesus has been beaten. You know, He's been falsely accused. He's been beaten to the point of almost unrecognizable, not just as who He is, but as a human, the Bible says. And so it gives us this vivid picture of the fact that Jesus has been tortured in incredible ways. And here He is. He has now been hung on a cross between two criminals. It says this in verse 32, two other men, both criminals, were also led out with Jesus to be executed, When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Now think about this moment where we see Jesus here. We've all seen the movies. We've all seen the pictures. We've all seen, you know, this depiction of what happened. And that Jesus is up high up on this cross, way above everybody else. And he's looking out over the masses, right? The truth is that when during a crucifixion, they would not have been hung way up high. They would have been hung just above the ground. So that as people walked by, they would almost look them still in the eye. That when they spit upon them, they would be spitting straight out upon them. When they called them names, they would be calling it right into their face. Crucifixion was one of the most horrible ways to die. In fact, our word excruciating, that word that we use for the worst of pain, comes right out of crucifixion. It's the root of it is there because it's such a terrible way to die and such a painful way to die. It was an expensive way to die because it required so much to take place. So it was reserved for the worst of the worst. And here's Jesus, this guy who had been accused of some things, but never really found guilty of it, hung there on a cross. He'd had nails driven through his hands and through his feet, and he was hanging there just above the ground. And see, they would hang him to the point where what they would have to do and feel like they had to was to push themselves up to be able to breathe. But yet they couldn't reach the ground, so all they could do was push against the nail in their feet. I mean, think about this. You kind of got to get the whole picture. I know it's rough, it's tough, it's a horrible thing to think about, but it's the reality of what Jesus went through to be able to do for you and me what he did. And so here he is, he's hanging there with these two guys beside him, one yelling at him, oh, if you can save yourself, do it. Save us too, you know, come on, do something, big boy. And the other one's there saying, don't you get it? This guy is who he says he is. And he asks for forgiveness, and Jesus forgives him there in that moment. Jesus not only forgives him, but he looks out over the mass of people, all of those people who are walking by and who have yelled at him and screamed at him and done unbelievable things towards him. And he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. It's just one of those scriptures that for me, it just always stops me in my tracks. Because I think about, where would I have been in that moment? Would I have been one of those that was in tears over the fact that this man that I loved was going through that? Or would I have been one of those out in the crowd yelling, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him? I think about it when I'm catching myself living my life the way that I want to live it, letting go and just, you know, this is my life. I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. You know, but those are the same words in so many ways of just crying out, crucify him. As we decide on our own to do our own thing, we do the same thing to him that they did. He says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. That moment of such a horrible experience for him, He thinks enough of and loves us enough to forgive those people and to forgive us that would come and would do the same. See, here's the thing. Let's just call it like you see it. If you live long enough, you're going to get hurt by somebody, right? Somebody's going to do something that's going to hurt you. They're going to reject you. They're going to gossip about you. They're going to not like you. They may hurt you physically. They may hurt you emotionally. They may come after you, you know, just verbally. Whatever. There's so many ways And if we live long enough, somebody's going to cause us a significant wound to us. Some of you are sitting here with these kind of wounds. Somebody's already abused you. Somebody's took advantage of you. They've lied to you. They've cheated you. They've hurt you or somebody that you love. They've took advantage of one of your kids or whatever. There's just something that's happened that has hurt you, and it's hurt you deeply. Somebody's told something about you that wasn't true. Somebody's not appreciated you the way that they should have. Somebody's made you feel unqualified, and you've looked at it and just said, you know what, it hurts. Some of you in the room have been hurt by people that aren't even alive anymore. But that hurt still lives. It still lingers. There's bitterness that's come into your life. For some of you, it was somebody very close. Mom, a dad, a brother, a sister. For some of you, it was things that were completely inappropriate. Things that made you feel abandoned and alone. For some of us in the room, it's maybe it wasn't such a big thing. But it's that thing that every time you hear that person's voice, it's like fingernails on a chalkboard. You know, it just kind of gets you, and it just reminds you of having to be around them. You know, when they walk into the room, you know, your mother-in-law just gets on your nerves. Oh, sorry, shouldn't have said that. Oh, I did say that out loud, didn't I? No, really. I'm just picking. No, really. It's somebody, right? You got somebody in your mind that's done something that's hurt you and offended you and has brought you to this place where you just don't even know what to do with it. I do like my mother-in-law, by the way. I just, anyway. But you've come to a place where this unforgiveness is there and it just... it's changing you. You know, I've told you the story before of my mom who went through a pretty difficult childhood from a stepfather who abused her, you know, verbally and physically and all kinds of ways, and how that affected her because it hurt her deeply and wounded her, and she spent most of her life dealing with that. And some of you in here, that's where you're at. You understand that kind of pain. And you've not been able to do anything with it. So today I want us to learn, how do we do something with it? How do we love like Jesus? How do we forgive like Jesus? It's one of those things that we've got to learn to do if we're going to be able to move forward and if we're going to have to be able to understand the forgiveness that's available to us, then we've got to be able to understand how to pass that forgiveness on to someone else. It's a piece that is important of just who we are. So let's begin to look at, how do you forgive like Jesus? Just a couple of thoughts that we're going to kind of go through. And the first one is this. The first thought is that if we're going to love like Jesus and forgive like Him, we've got to pray for those who hurt you. If you're going to forgive like He did, you've got to learn to pray for those who hurt you. That's a difficult thing to do. Some of you just giggled inside, right? You're like, yeah, right. There's no way. Bible says this in Luke 6, verse 28. It says, bless those who curse you and pray for those who, what? Hurt you. Pray for those who hurt you. Now, some of you may be like I've been in the past, and we say, you know what? I'll pray for them. I'm going to pray for them, okay? I pray they get what's coming to them. I hope they get hemorrhoids on their eyeballs, you know. I pray that they get some, you know, they get a good case of something that they can't even walk straight, you know. I want them to, I'll pray for them. I pray that they get struck down, you know. I mean, we pray those kind of prayers, don't we? We don't have any trouble praying. It's just the right kind of prayers that we need to pray for those that hurt us. I've been there. I've prayed those prayers that God would just, you know, just get them. And if he didn't, I was very willing to do them myself. It's one of those things that we experience. We need to pray for those who hurt you. In Matthew 5, he says something to them that would be jaw-dropping to the people of this time. It would be one of those things that would be shocking to the audience. They never heard anything like he was about to say to them. They had been told their entire lives the exact opposite of what Jesus was about to say to them. And for you and I, we've heard it said, and we've probably seen some cute little post on Facebook about it, but we've said, you know what, that just doesn't make a bit of sense to me. But here's what Jesus said, and so it's one of those, you got to hear him. It says in verse 43 of chapter 5, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Does anybody in here just think that should be, you know, is that just your theme verse? I don't think so. Because none of us want to pray for those that we don't like, that have hurt us and wronged us and all of that. Nobody wants to do that. That is just not normal. And for the moment Jesus said that, those people were like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. There is something not right here. No way. See, the Romans, they worship the God of revenge. So they're not wanting to let anybody off the hook. The Christians and those that were there, the Jewish audience, they'd been taught an eye for an eye, right? So this was not something that made sense to them. It didn't make any more sense to them than it really does to us either. They've taken something from you and you want it back, don't you? You've been hurt, and so you want to hurt back. That's the natural reaction for all of us. It just comes that way. That's one of the reasons why, you know, I don't have one of those WWJD bumper stickers on my car. Because just in case I cut you off, I don't want you to come cut me back off, or I don't want you to come find me or whatever. You know, I don't want to... Just being honest, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you see them and somebody does it, and immediately, you want to go back after them. Jesus says, pray for those who persecute you. If somebody cuts me off in traffic, my initial instinct is I always want to just tell them that they're number one. I'm being straight up. I don't. I'm trying to keep them out of hell, and I'm not wanting to send them there. But the initial thought is that, man, I just want to, you know what? It's bad. You can ask my wife. Unfortunately, you need to pray for your pastor when he gets behind the wheel, because he gets a little crazy. So anyway, but it's because this thing doesn't come natural to any of us, no matter where we are in our walk with Christ. It just doesn't come naturally that we would just love those who do something wrong to us. But here's Jesus saying, listen, if you're gonna be like me, which we all say we want to be like him, if we're gonna be like him, then we gotta love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. I mean, think about that. Somebody who has hurt you physically, somebody that's hurt you sexually, somebody that's hurt you emotionally to a point that almost paralyzing you, and Jesus would tell you to forgive them, to pray for them, to love them. It just doesn't make sense. But here's where I always find my way back to. It's where I always end up back, because Jesus says, listen, love your neighbor, pray for your neighbor and your enemy and those that persecute you. here's where I always get back to, that he forgives me when I wound him deeply. That every time that I've disobeyed him, every time that I've done my own thing and gone against what he's told me that he wants to do in my life, every time I've gone against the scriptures that he's written to me so that I know how to live my life, every time I do what Ron wants to do, every time that Ron thinks about Ron first rather than what would Jesus do, that he forgives me of those. The moment that I ask him to. You say, okay, Ron, there is the catch. See, that person, they've never asked me to. Listen, Jesus died for us while we were still sinners, the Bible says. He did what he did for us long before we would ever come to a place to confess it. He loved us and did it anyway. So for you and I, the opportunity to forgive comes way before somebody ever asks for it. Because listen, they may never ask for it. They may never come, and you may never get that I'm sorry. You may never get the apology that you're looking for. But Jesus says, listen, pray for them. Why would he want us to pray for those people? Because I believe when we pray, when we come into the presence of God and begin to ask him for things and begin to have that conversation with us, it begins to put us into the right frame of mind that now we put him first rather than ourselves and our situations. See, the right attitude will eventually lead to the right actions. The right attitude will eventually lead to the right actions. If we'll get our mind right and focus on the things that God wants us to be focused on, then eventually the actions will follow. See, the forgiveness isn't just going to roll off our tongues and out of our hearts. It's that we've got to get ourselves into a position for God to be able to move in us and do that. And so the prayer of us as we seek that is important. We've got to be willing to do that first. The renewing of our mind starts when we begin to open our minds to be renewed. And so prayer opens that up. It allows us to see that differently. When you start praying for someone that you hate, someone that has wronged you, that has hurt you, when you start praying for your enemies, when you start praying for those who persecute you, listen, your prayer may or may not change them, but it will always change you. How you pray and who you're praying for and about, listen, it may never do anything different to them, but it will change you. And it allows you to be able to deal with the situation the way that God would have you to deal with it rather than the way that the world would have you deal with it. I'm telling you, forgiveness has always been one of those things where I was really easy at giving it away. It was one of those things I just never had trouble with. I've said that in messages before, that I'm not a grudge holder. I'm not one of those that carries that stuff around. Until recently. And I've gone through something that just kind of took me there. And it had a grip on me and I just couldn't let go of it. I'd had conversations with several of you about it. Just seeking advice and counsel and trying to get, just be able to allow God to just speak into it and help me through it. And man, it was eating me alive. It was changing who I was. It was changing the way I looked at other people. It was changing the way I looked at a lot of you guys. Because it had come through the church. And it was a harmful situation. Just really hurtful. And it got there to where I couldn't let go of it. And some of you got to watch as God just kept hammering on me. He just kept sending scripture my way. Kept sending opportunities my way, and it finally came to a place where I just had to say, you know what, God? I just let it go. And I came to a place of being able to just forgive. and just say, you know what, I don't want harm to come. I don't want revenge. I don't want to get even. I don't want anything else. I really want good to come for everybody involved. And it was like something lifted off of me. And I'm telling you, I've watched the same thing happen as my mom came to a place of being able to forgive in her situation. And I've watched it in so many people where they've allowed something to get so heavy on them that that God couldn't move, He couldn't work, He couldn't do the things He wanted to do. They couldn't laugh, they couldn't smile, they couldn't have other relationships, they couldn't become vulnerable to other people because there was just hurt here. And man, the moment that you finally come and realize that you can truly be different, that situation may not change on their end, but it can certainly change on your end. I'm telling you, you become different and you begin to not only experience that forgiveness different, but you begin to experience the forgiveness in your own salvation differently. Because you understand what it must have took for Jesus to do what He did so that you and I could be forgiven. Now you think hanging on a cross after being beaten the way that he was and all that he could look out over that crowd? Man, I would have wanted to just zap them and clean up. I mean, who wouldn't? Jesus wouldn't. He looked out and he said, "Forgive them, Father." He's praying for them who had hung him there. That's the example that we have. We're going to love like Jesus and we're going to be able to forgive like Jesus, then we're going to have to pray for those that hurt us. It's pretty hard to do. But if we want to experience all that God wants us to, we've got to do it. The second thing is this. If we're going to forgive like Jesus, we've got to forgive as you've been forgiven. We forgive in the same manner that God's forgiven us. Kind of touched on it a little bit, but here's what Paul says to the Colossians in chapter 3. He says, "Forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." You got to be able to understand if you're a follower of Christ and you've confessed Him as your Lord, you've accepted that He has given His life on a cross to pay for all of your sins. Everything you've ever done, every wrong you've ever committed, every person that you've hurt, every situation that you made the wrong choice and totally went against what He would say was the standard for that. Every time that you've sinned and hurt Jesus, think about it. Every time we sin, we hammer that nail a little bit deeper into the hand of Christ. But He looks out at all of us, and when we call out and we say, "Forgive me, Jesus," He says, "God, forgive them. Forgive them. You and I have been forgiven of our sin if we've confessed it and we've acknowledged Him." Some of us in our marriages are holding on to some things from the past that are hindering God being able to do all that He wants to in our marriages. Some of us are in our daily walk, in our own personal relationship with Christ, we're holding on to some things from the past against some people that are keeping God from being able to do everything that He wants to do in us. See, sometimes I get a little hard on people. You know, just come to church and you go and you don't really get involved and all that. Listen, I know sometimes that seems kind of harsh. But let me just tell you, though, that when I also get the fact that one, that's a piece of us as Christ followers that we should have. But I also get that sometimes the reason we don't do that, it's because we can't. Because we've never been able to come to a place of truly just letting go and letting God move in us, because we're holding on to unforgiveness against somebody or something that is keeping us where we are, and we just can't let go and let Him do all that He wants to do in our lives. But listen, if we call ourselves a follower of Jesus, we say we have trusted Him to forgive us, right? To forgive us of everything we've ever done. So the example for us has been set. That if He can forgive us of those things, then we should be able to forgive people of the things they've done for us. It's not easy. And I can't snap your fingers and make it happen. But I will tell you, though, that He sets an example, and He begins to show us how to be able to walk through this, to be able to experience that kind of forgiveness. Never once does He say, hey, forgive the ones who ask for forgiveness. You read that anywhere? Didn't say that. We can't say, well, I'll forgive them when they come and apologize. Listen, you may take your last breath long before that'll ever happen. Some people are walking around pretending like they never even did it to you. So how in the world are they ever going to come to a place to come and ask you for forgiveness? Now, we could pray that God would move in their hearts and that He would change them and that would happen. That's okay to pray for. When He says pray for those who persecute you, that is part of that prayer. You can pray that prayer. You should not just pray for them. You should pray for you that you change along with it. But the truth is that it's okay to pray for people to be changed because you want them to be different. But don't sit around and wait for them to ever come to you and say, I'm sorry. It just may never happen. In the case of my mom, it came to a place where that her stepfather had died long before she was able to come to that place. If she'd have said, well, you know, I guess I can't do it now. It doesn't say that he had to come and ask. It just says you have to come to a place to be able to do it. Don't wait on somebody else to do something. The call is for you and I to come to a place and just say, you know what? I just got to let go. I got to forgive. I got to be able to understand that they did that out of hurt, just like I've done it out of hurt. He says, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And Lamont says this. She says, bitterness is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. Unforgiveness is one of those things that we spend so much time and energy on that it wears us out and it takes the good out of us that we never are able to give fully to what God has for us. Some of us need to pull out our frozen CDs and put it in and say, let it go. Let it go. Right? It's just time. It's just time to do it. The longer we hold on to it, the more it changes us and the more difficult it becomes. Sometimes I wonder why so many Christians look like they've been eating briars. Walk around with that old stern face and just, you know, Jesus is good. Amen. He's just good. I'm like, man, you should tell your face that. But you know why? That comes out of what's inside. That could very well come from the deep-rooted hurt that they've been carrying around all these years that they've just never been able to let go. Listen, some of y'all have experienced some things in your lives that you just wouldn't know how to express that out loud. I mean, let's just be honest. The world's a crazy place and difficult things happen. I don't know if it's somebody that's sexually abused you or somebody that's mentally just hammered you as a child, or I mean, some of you are dealing with some very deep unbelievable things. And for me to stand here and say, oh, just forgive them, it's like slapping you in the face and doing it to you all over again. So let me just say, I get it. I understand where you're at may be the most, maybe mind-blowing to most of us. But it's not to Jesus. He understands the pain that you are going through. He understands it to the fullest. He created you. He knows you. He knows everything that you feel and that you think and that's going on within you. And listen, He loves you enough to allow you to be forgiven. And listen, quite honestly, He loves the person that hurt you enough for them to be forgiven. So today, I don't know that you can snap your fingers. If I could wave a wand and let you feel the freedom of forgiveness right now, man, I would do that. I would take it on myself. If that would let you feel the freedom. But I can't. And it's a process that you're going to have to go through with Jesus and allowing Him to be the strength. We don't let that happen just naturally. We are not strong enough to let it happen, but He is. And so today, I don't know what your situation is, but I know that He loves you and wants you to experience that true freedom of it. And so today, if we're going to begin to love like Jesus, we got to be able to forgive like Jesus. And so I want to give you an opportunity to begin that process of letting it go, beginning to just be honest about it. You don't have to come tell me. You don't have to tell anybody else in the room except Jesus. And He's here ready to hear from you. So my prayer is that today that you don't try to do that on your own, but that you allow Him to do that in you and through you. Would you pray with me? Father God, today we come and God, You've set an incredible example of love. God, You loved us enough to send Your Son Jesus to die on a cross, to pay the price for our sins so that we could be forgiven of all the things that we do against You, God. God, it's an overwhelming thought to think of all the times I've wronged You and You still loved me enough to send Your Son to die for me. You did that for every person. That's God, so today we come, I just ask You, God, to begin to provide freedom to those in this room and those that'll hear this message at some point, that they would just be able to experience Your true freedom, the forgiveness of their sins, the forgiveness of the weight of all of that, and be able to experience a relationship with You through confessing Jesus as their Lord and confessing their sin and knowing that God, that You want to forgive. So God, I pray right now that if there's someone that hasn't experienced that before, that now would be the time they would just invite You into their life. God, I pray right now for those that have made that decision, but God, been dealing with the hurt of the things of life. God, I pray in this moment, this very moment, that God, that forgiveness would begin, that they would begin to let go of those things that have been holding them back. To God, to be able to forgive whoever's hurt them. To be able to experience the freedom that comes from giving that forgiveness. God, for those that are here, God, that have been hurt and by someone else who they just say they just can't forgive, God, I pray that you would pour Your grace and Your mercy over them, God, and let them experience that richly right now and be able to change their heart and their mind. God, for those in the room who say, you know what, God, I can't forgive myself for the things I've done. And God, pour your grace and your mercy over them. God, for those in the room who say they can't forgive you, that life has come at them hard and the things that have happened, God, they've put the blame onto you. And they've just not been able to forgive you. God, may you let them feel you and your presence in a way like they never have before. God, across this room, I pray that forgiveness would become the theme of our lives, that forgiveness that we've experienced and the forgiveness that we can offer to other people. God, that would be what brings us together so that you may use us more greatly. God, I don't know individual stories. I don't know all the hurts here. I know some, but I don't know them all. God, you certainly do. And so in these moments, God, may you provide healing as they extend forgiveness. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.